Welcome to the Reckless Dice Podcast. I'm your host of this special series of interview episodes, Lester Crowe, and with me I have the lead developer of Libra Fanatica 8 and general RPG guru, Sean Connors. This episode is going to focus on Sean's experience with Libra Fanatica 8 and his thoughts on Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay the 3rd Edition as a whole. First of all, welcome, Sean.
Welcome, Lester. Thanks very much for inviting me on. You know how much I admire you guys.
Yeah, thanks, man. We definitely admire what you guys do, too. It's a lot of work to be involved in something as ambitious as Libra Fanatica. Could you start with just kind of giving a basic breakdown of what Libra Fanatica is for all those who don't know?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially it's a fanzine that is all around all editions of Warhammer. I think that's important to stress that. But obviously the focus of it now is on the current edition, which is the 3rd. And the reason I mention this is obviously I think sometimes I know what it's like when people have had a much-loved edition, it's changed. Trust me, for those out there that haven't given this a chance yet, please, please have a look at it in more detail because it's still Warhammer, you will love it. And this fanzine, I think, goes a long way to helping people show them that it's still always about the story and it's always about what happens inside those stories. And I think that this edition helps you. It doesn't hinder you. And that's why I'm hoping people will be encouraged to look more.
Yeah, for sure. So how did you become involved with becoming the lead developer on Libra Fanatica 8?
I saw that the previous lead developer, that was Jay Hafner, he basically was looking for someone to take over the reins. And it was a project I really wanted to show people, because I'm involved in different things within the RPG industry. I wanted to show people another side, another string to my bow, really, of what I wanted to do. And I'm really grateful that he gave me the opportunity to do it.
Sweet. Yeah, so there's ways for other people to get involved, too. If you want, you can go directly to the Fantasy Flight Games forums and go to the Warhammer Fantasy role-playing forum in particular, and there should be a post on there. You can get the information, or you can go directly to Libra Fanatica's website. Do you know what the URL is for that, Sean?
Yeah, I do. www.librafanatica.net. Libra, L-I-B-E-R, Fanatica, F-A-N-T-I-C-A. And that will get you straight there, and you'll be able to look at all the stuff that's currently on there that you can download. Of course, it's all free.
Yeah, it is all free, which is fantastic. We'll put those links in the show notes after here.
Great stuff.
Now, getting more into the specifics of Libra Fanatica 8, I'd like to know what the most difficult thing that you encountered while being the lead developer was.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's twofold. I think the first thing is to draw people's attention to when you download the current edition, number 8, my lead entry into it explains a great deal about my thanks about the people that were involved, but primarily it does mention, it talks about the issues I had through it. So this question gives me a great chance to explain those. And without a doubt, the hardest thing within this is we've got different people from all over the world on different time zones. To communicate sounds easy. Yes, you can do it via email, but it's much harder to get across your point of view. So we've used things like we're doing now. We've used Skype. We've done all sorts of things. I've done telephone calls. But it's really difficult to get everybody tied down to a set time and get their points of view across. So that was without a doubt the most difficult thing. It was purely about communication and getting everybody's point across.
Yeah, that is one of the things that is fantastic about Libra Fanatica is it is a global spanning endeavor. It's just fans from all over the world who want to be involved in developing content. It's pretty sweet.
It is.
I don't know, I think you've done a good job. I've only had a quick, brief look over Libra Fanatica 8, but I mean, I was a little bit involved in doing some of the proofreading and stuff, so I've read a few of the articles, and it's very strong. I like how it had a theme and everything. So, continuing on here, I was wondering what your favorite thing about working on Libra Fanatica 8 was.
I've made a lot of really good friends through it, and that's the best thing about it. Plus, of course, as you've rightly said, you know, it's pushed me. It made me appreciate all the work that had gone into the previous editions, and it made me think to myself, well, I want people to look back on this edition with pride and that we aim as high as we can aim as individuals, as a group of fans, and really, really set the benchmark as high as we could deliver it at this point and hope that with our continued support and whoever comes in, and we know it's Jay now, is going to come back, which is great because that says a lot. They're going to want to push on the next one to an even higher level. And doesn't that just speak volumes about everybody involved in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was something that you made known from the get-go, is that you wanted to try to set the standard for the bar to just continually be risen by this fanzine.
Definitely, yeah.
I think that's great because it pushes the actual companies themselves who are producing these games to, you know, take a hard look at what kind of effort they're putting into developing, you know, actual cost products, you know. Like, you can get this Libra Fanatic 8, you can get it for free from the website, and it fits right in with all the stuff. The layout is phenomenal. The writing's, the people who wrote on it are great. It's really, really, really strong. So besides that, what would you say should be the biggest thing that should get people excited about Libra Fanatic 8?
I think there are so many different and varied articles that fit the theme. I think the first thing that's exciting is the theme. And I'll be honest with you, you were instrumental in that because you suggested on one of the forums, if I remember rightly, we really need a theme. And that was the first thing that I did as a lead developer, was decide quickly so that there was no hesitation what the theme was going to be. And I decided the Criminal Empire for two reasons. The first one was that it was going to have a very, if I may use the word, human element, so that all the things that we were doing was more about the world of Warhammer as opposed to the unusual creatures in Warhammer. Although I love them, I wanted to really touch on the human aspect, no matter how Machiavellian. And the other thing about that was that made it really strong is that once you touch on those aspects, it brings in so many other elements that people may not think about, and that's what I really enjoyed about it.
Mm. I was actually curious if the Nemesis cards played any sort of role in that. Like, did that kind of like perk your interest, or did that give you kind of like a seed for an idea? Or
yeah, that's a great question, Lester. Thanks for that. Yeah, it did. Yeah, I like the idea of the Criminal Empire element a lot, but it's always fitted my style of DMing, if that makes sense. So I've always had in my mind, whenever I write material for campaigns, I always think in terms of a real big backstory and for all the different people that are in there. And I use the word Machiavellian, the Borgias, the mafiosi, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. I mm-hmm. love having people that have, they may not be the sort of people you want to deal with, but there's a moral side to them. And sometimes you've got to, you may not like them, but in a strange way you do. And I love that about those types of the games that I run. And I know my players enjoy that. So I really was keen to bring that in because it sort of plays to my strengths. And that's why I went for the article bits that I did. And I can clearly see from what other people have done in the edition, it's been good because the edition is so open, like the new one. It lets you play to your strengths. And that's a really good thing as a designer and as anybody that comes in to write for it. There's something for everybody who wants to contribute.
Mm-hmm. I found that the theme definitely added a coherency for it, and it helped people come up and develop ideas for what they think would work good in it.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans on working on any further editions of Libra Fanatic?
Oh, I've already committed myself to working on at least the next two editions, and at the moment I'm already in talks with my cohort, Maury, who I must mention here and say thank you very much to him, who was originally the proofreader, as you yourself, you helped with the proofreading of my articles. He added some more meat on the bones of what I was getting at, and he could clearly see, which I loved, what I wanted to try and do. So he really helped me, and so did all the proofreaders, and that was another great thing about the edition, strive to be even better each time. And so at the moment we're already in talks about how we want the story to develop. But of course a little bit of this is we've left it open because we wanted to get the feedback from the community. So that's another, you know, I'm being honest there. I really want people's feedback, and I'm really grateful for all the people so far who've sent me an email. And I'll be honest with you, Lester, I've had over 400 emails so far on counting. So it's awesome, to be honest. As an addition, I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, people are definitely, there are a lot of people who are interested in this magazine. It's fantastic. I can't wait to actually read through and run the first adventure in Wanted, because, or I guess it is called Wanted. That's the one you wrote, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I love how it starts, and it is totally open to being the first adventure of a campaign, and I'm really looking forward to running that with a new group that I'm putting together right now.
Well, I'm really looking forward to your feedback, to be honest.
I'll definitely get it to you once I've gotten to dig all the way through LF8, and I'll definitely be sending you some feedback.
If I may add one piece in here as well, if people do read the one to any of the articles in there, to be honest, we've said it for everybody, and you'll see that again in the foreword and at the back of the Libra Fanatic 8, there is a way to contact me directly. I would honestly say to anybody, if you can go to the extra mile and do a video on YouTube for us, it would be fantastic, because it will be so easy for everybody else that contributed towards Elevate to look at what you've given for your feedback, whether it's good or bad. We'll take everything on board, and it helps us plan the next steps, because we have left some bits open for you guys out there to let us know what you liked and how you'd like things to progress. We'll definitely take those things on board.
Precisely. And for those of you who don't know, Sean runs a role-playing game channel on YouTube called The Outsider 68, which is fantastic. It's got all sorts of information ranging from all sorts of different games. So definitely check that out. I'll put a link to that in the show notes here.
It's kind of good. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And I definitely get feedback to the people who are running Libra Fanatica, because the more we hear from the community, the better it is for the project as a whole. So I really want to kind of get into your thoughts of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, the third edition.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, in your opinion, what the biggest strengths that this game presents are.
My favorite thing, there are many good things about this game, but my favorite thing from a DMing point of view first is that everything that they've designed in it is boltable. It works whether you use it or you don't. And that's what's so brilliant about it. So for example, if you don't want to use a particular thing, say you don't want to use the Nemesis cards, or you don't want to use the player cards, or you don't want to use certain bits of it, you can. That's up to you. And that's what's so strong about it. Personally, I use everything because I'm sort of that way inclined. I love all the elements to it, and I have no issues with any of them, because I find that they add so much to the player involvement. And that's the other strength to the game, is that there's so many of these elements that are very much centered around your players, encourage your players to work together, tactic together. Really, really clever. Love that. Very unique.
Yeah, it is quite unique, and I do like how the rules are all presented on cards, so the onus does fall a little bit more on the players to know what their character's strengths and capabilities are.
Good point.
And I really do. I find it fantastic. So that being said, what would you say are the biggest failings of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 3rd Edition?
I don't really think there are too many things that I can say that are failing it. I mean, if you've seen any of my videos on this, you'll notice that I've scored it as high as you can possibly score anything in a review. So honestly, I still believe that after these many months of playing it now. But I would say one thing that concerns me slightly, it's obviously echoed in the forums, is that people aren't seeing the new release schedules quick enough. There doesn't seem to be enough talk from FFG themselves about what's going to come up next, how that's going to look, and that's a shame. And I think the other thing that I think FFG could do, and I think if my spies tell me, I may be right on this, they are already planning some serious campaign, and I'm talking about in-depth campaigns going forward in the future, which is a great sign, but we need to see more of what those things are going to be, so we encourage community people to get really into this. Because it's nice to know what's coming out, because obviously if you're going to spend big money, you want to know what's coming out, and that's going to help guide your decision. I know there is stuff out there at the moment, but we need to keep seeing what else is coming so that people don't get jittery, and there's a little bit of that going on in the forums, which is a shame.
Yeah, I've noticed that there's a little bit, it's the doom and gloom of the game, but I really don't think so. I believe that the problem is last year they released that Sifting Through the Shadows document,
yeah.
So everybody knew what was coming up, right?
Yes, that's right.
But now, like you said, it's definitely in the dark and people don't know.
I think as well, I think what we have to sort of take in mind is that obviously originally Jay Little, who was the developer of the game, he's been promoted and he's moved on from that project. He probably looks over it now. But we have to sort of take on board there are new people finding their feet. They're just going through Gen Con in America. There will be, I'm sure, things to come out from this. And I hope what will happen, and I'm really looking forward to this, and I hope FFG, and I'm sure they listen to your podcast, take this on board. We want their feedback too. That's what Libra Fanatics is about. We're your fans. We need your feedback. It's no good you staying quiet. We need to hear from you as well. We need to know if we've hit the spot on a few things that you think is good, or whether you think we could change some things and improve them. We'll take all that on board, because what a great soundboard.
Well, I totally agree. I believe I'm a heavy believer in community involvement and with company involvement with their community. I mean, we are playing their games, so who better to be in contact with than the people who play their games, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So where would you like to see the design team take the game? Like, what would you say is a supplement that is a must for the game.
The biggest thing at the moment that seems to be missing, and I can understand why it's missing, but it's really needed, is some really, really heavy involvement in the actual world of Warhammer. Mm-hmm. It needs far more. I would love to see an absolute quality map, something you've already started on yourself, that the FFG go on and work on even more. Give us a quality map with real areas, distances, the whole works. Really look at it. There's a number of good sites out there where people have done a lot of fan-based stuff with this in mind. I would love to see FFG take it that little bit further. Why don't they release the Empire, the full old world, card by card? Give us detail, give us area stuff, stuff you've already touched on in stuff you've done, Lester. That is definitely the direction that they should be going in, because we all need it. At the moment, we've got pockets of information. I'm experienced. Obviously, I'm an old hand at this, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I've known Warhammer since its very first beginning, so I've got a great understanding of how the old world fits together, how it works. I wouldn't say that's that obvious if you just picked up third edition. I think you have to really work at finding out from other people or finding out from the community at large what Warhammer is all about. It's not as straightforward as it seems to us. I think a lot of the new guys out there, and I've certainly got this through my emails, aren't quite sure yet of how, you know, what is this medieval-style Germany that people talk about? They're a little bit confused. So it would really help if they were able to flesh out a decent map and follow that through. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, if they could do something along the lines of Sigmar's Heirs. Well, that's what I'm attempting to do with Travel and Its Perils, an article that I intended to be in LF8, but I figure that it fits the, like a Game Master's theme more.
Oh,
but
that's why I'm hinting at it. Yeah, I think you should.
That's pretty much the idea of it, is to make it Sigmar's Heirs. So there, it's going to be a detail of at least the Empire through a traveler's perspective, and then it's going to have rules for how to do random encounters. And I think that is something that is absolutely essential for a game, especially, like you said, when it comes to people who are just now experiencing Warhammer for the first time. You have to go through oodles of books, through all the different supplements, to really piece together a good picture of the Empire. Because the player's book only has a very little amount of information on the Empire itself in the very back of the book.
That's right. There's a bit of flavor, isn't there? But nothing more.
Yeah, I definitely agree that that's something that would be awesome. I mean, if you want a good map, you can go check out Jesse's Schmottwow at gitsmansgallery.com. But once again, I do agree with Sean here that if we had a hard copy map that came in some sort of supplement, I think that would do wonders.
If FFG released a book tomorrow, a map, mm-hmm. a really interesting, I mean, almost like a puzzle map, is the way I saw it in my mind's eye, that this sort of, I had this idea of a potential puzzle map that slots together so the players only see a piece at a time as they move around the Empire. Mm-hmm. Even if they wanted to charge me a lot of money for the privilege of it, you know, like a lot of us, we've already invested a lot, we'd buy it. We definitely buy it because we want something like that.
I would totally invest in something that gave a lot of detail and a lot of feeling to the old world, for sure. All right, Sean, well, I'm going to close off here with a really cute question. I was wondering what your favorite career in Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay the 3rd Edition is.
My favorite career, without a shadow of a doubt, and I've sort of gone into quite a lot of depth in this in Wanted. I don't want to give too much away about Wanted. I'll leave that for other people to read or play and look forward to the feedback. But the Assassin class has always been my favorite, purely because of the way that Warhammer does classes, if you like, or careers. I love the feeling that you have to try to find your way into the assassin's career. It's not obvious who is an assassin. How do you get there? I just love that class. Once you're in, it feels so prestigious and so unique. And of course, with such a double-edged sword come contracts, and with contracts come dilemmas, and I love that.
I absolutely love the artwork that they've done on the career sheet, too, for that.
It's a beautiful card.
All right, Sean, well, we'll have to get you in on a couple more of these episodes. It's good talking to you, man.
Well, you know I'm a big fan of you guys, and any time you want me to come on board and talk about anything whatsoever, you know I'm full of hot air and gas. I'll be quite happy to join you guys at any time, and you're more than welcome. I would definitely get involved in any way I can, so you're more than welcome.
All right, cool. Well, thanks a lot once again.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to digesting the information in Libra Fanatica 8.
Can't wait. Can't wait for your paper.
All right, thanks again.
Thank you. Take care. All the best to you.
Yeah, so that'll wrap it up for this special episode of RDP, or Reckless Dice Podcast. Be sure to leave comments, questions, and suggestions on the site, recklessdice.com, or send us an email at recklessdice@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at recklessdice, as well as like us on Facebook. And don't forget to give us a review on iTunes if that's where you're getting this. Thanks for listening. See you around.